We have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour. Liftoff on Apollo 11.
Welcome everyone to, I guess, my first, it's your first vlog on a podcast. Anyways, welcome. This is the first podcast for my blog, True Stories. My name is Ed, and if you obviously know who I am just by A, coming to my blog and seeing this podcast, but today I also have with me my good friend Travis, who also has a blog, Trav's Daily Ramblings, which
you can Google it.
You can Google it. You can Google it. which is actually on my blog. If you go to the right of my page, his link is right there, and it's one of the best spaces blogs out there. Most people would agree with that. Today also I have with me my good friend Chris, and Chris is new to podcasting and I guess the whole blog experience.
You don't have a blog?
I do not.
Man. I'm telling
not
you.
Yet.
Behind the times.
I'm telling you.
I'm learning.
But he's well known on the internet. But anyways.
Of sorts.
But one of the things that we're going to be doing today is one of the ways I plan on doing my podcasts are going to be a little different from other podcasts. First off is I like to have people, not just myself, doing the podcast. So... we're all looking at ourselves. There's someone racing outside on a hot rod. But anyways, I like to have different people for my podcast because even though I love all the podcasts I've been listening to, hearing one person talk over and over and over again gets a little, well, boring. But not that they're talking about boring stuff. But anyways, the way I formatted my podcast is we have a variety of topics that I've pre-written into little cards, if you will. And Chris and Travis are going to pick two, and we're going to talk about those topics. And they have no idea what the topics are, and we'll try it. So who wants to go first and pick one of the cards to talk about? Okay, Travis, go ahead.
Oh, this should be interesting. Let's see. Topic number one, New Year's resolutions. Still have them.
Oh, very good.
Ed? Hey, I picked the question.
You picked the question. The only New Year's resolution I had is I tried South Beach Diet for 2 weeks. I did it for 2 weeks. That's all I'll say. I did it for 2 weeks. So I guess I kept it for 2 weeks, you know.
It's a milestone.
You know, hey,
for 2006.
You know, I dropped like 5 to 8 pounds, which was great, you know, kind of thing. But I'm craving pasta, rice, and donuts, but I don't know.
Cookies and frostings.
Oof. What about you, Travis?
I didn't set any New Year's resolutions. Although, no, I do have a plan for this year, though. It's to pass the professional engineer's exam for California. So whether I take it in April or October, it's going to be one of the two. So that's my goal, is to pass it.
You've been blogging about that pretty much for the last month.
Because I'm going nuts. They wanted all the entire application in their hands by January 6th. They cashed my check. I think they got all my transcripts. I'm pretty sure they got all my references. And then they needed verification that I'm an engineer in training in Arizona from the state of Arizona. So I think they got that. But all this came separate, so I'm not sure. But they cashed my check, so
right.
I don't know.
So is that your New Year's resolution to pass the exam? Or
well,
you're going to get the exam?
If I didn't make the January 6th deadline, which would mean, like, let's say one of the colleges didn't send my transcript on time, then instead of the April, I'd be taking it in October. Because I qualify to take it, so there's no question about that.
So I'm sure you'll be blogging about that coming up.
Yes.
Another reason to look at your blog.
yet another reason to go to Travis's blog.
That's right.
All right, Chris.
I didn't really set any either. I guess one like, mentally that I set was to just pay down everything and become debt-free.
Well,
that's got to be it.
Well, the look at the world we live in. Are we ever going to be debt-free? Oh, well, you will, obviously, no. By the way that looks, but...
Someday.
Someday, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I, you know, it's funny, New Year's resolutions, it's... I used to always write them down and put them in an envelope and then say, open on New Year's Day the next year to see if I actually did them. And actually, that's pretty cool because you wrote them down and you're like, okay, cool, and you have all these wonderful things you're going to do. You put them in an envelope and then you go and do your thing for the year. Oh, New Year's Eve... The next year comes along, and then you wake up the next morning and go open it up, and you're like, what the hell was I thinking? I mean, really think about it. True. I mean, you sit there and go, look where my life went. My God.
Very true.
But anyways. All right. Let's pick another topic. Chris, your turn.
All right. American Idol. The new season starts next week.
So you're going to watch it?
No.
Oh, come on.
I have not watched one of the seasons yet.
You totally are not an American Idol fan?
All. I don't like, no, not at all.
Why don't you like it? Come on. Everybody in America is watching it, but you.
Reality TV, I'll watch. MTV's Real World, I'm hooked.
So you'll watch
Nick and Jessica.
Real World.
Okay, so you'll watch Nick and Jessica. But, of course, they're broken up now. But you'll watch Nick and Jessica, but you won't watch American Idol?
There's something about American Idol that turns me off. And, in fact, when they have that stupid show where it's everybody they turn down, I think that's crap, too. I won't watch it.
Really?
Never have, no.
What about you?
I don't know, it's just...
Oh, I'll probably watch. Well, I'm not like a religious watcher of it.
Right.
But I'll watch it. But reality TV for me is just like Simple Things for Simple Minds.
Ooh.
I just have never been a really big. How simple is a simple day? Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, it's funny because I watch American Idol like a basketball game. Okay. And the reason I say that is because really, when you watch a basketball game, it's totally boring until the fourth quarter. Like, it's for me, it's boring. It's like, okay, going back and forth, point, point, point. The real action doesn't happen until the fourth quarter and, like, the last 8 minutes. Because then, usually, it's pretty close score, and that's when it gets exciting. So American Idol's the same way. I could care less about the first part of the season. But when it gets down to, like, the final five, then I'll start watching and go, okay, how good are these people, you know? Because it's like, I'll go to work, and I'll hear everybody go, oh, did you see so-and-so? And it's like, no, I didn't. But then I get to the end. Toward the last five episodes, and then I'm like, oh, I know exactly what you're talking about.
I didn't even know who won the last few until our friend Mario had CDs that he had playing, and I'm like, oh my God, who's that? Can I get that?
Oh,
he said,
yeah.
Oh, you didn't watch American Idol.
Yeah. See, I recognize Kelly Clarkson, and...
Who was the best? I have to admit, she's the best out of all of them so far.
Well, you hear on the radio.
Well,
and
yeah.
Then, who's the gay guy?
Oh, Clay Gaken.
Yes.
Okay.
Or whatever his name is. I call him
Those
Clay
Gaken.
Those
are the only
Gaken.
Ones I recognize.
Aiken, that was it.
But I never watched their seasons.
Oh, yeah. If that guy's not gay, then I don't know what is. Mm-hmm. I mean, my God. So, anyways.
Pretty much
is Ryan Seacrest still on it?
Yeah, the world's biggest metrosexual, but...
Ugh.
And he's got his new... He's just got signed to do something new, like his own show or something.
Yeah, but he... You know, it's sort of funny. Aside from American Idol and Kiss FM that he's on, that show was just totally crazy. It totally bombed. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you ever watch it, it was really boring. So, I don't know. But anyways.
What's the show where they eat all the awful things?
Fear Factor?
Don't tell me you watch that.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, no, no.
Oh, my God.
And you know what's amazing about Fear Factor is that they show it on prime time. So, I'll be sitting eating...
Yeah.
You know, a steak, or, you know, like I eat steak every day. But anyways, I'll be eating something like pasta or something mm-hmm. like that, which, of course, I couldn't eat on South Beach. But anyways, I'll be eating something, and I'll be watching TV, and then I'll be flipping through, and, of course, I'll flip through right when they're eating reindeer testicles. And it's like, okay, right. That's, mm-hmm. you know, I'm okay with the stunts, but when they start eating crap, that's just, that's like, ugh, I can't believe that.
But yet, you can't show boobs on TV. That's bad.
Right.
Yeah, but they can eat reindeer testicles.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Anyways.
Dick.
All right, next topic. Travis.
Travis's
turn. Okay.
All right. Here, Howard Stern.
All right.
Very nice.
I put that one in there specifically because we have one of the biggest Howard Stern fans
in the world.
Really?
Oh, my God. I can't get enough. I don't know what it is. Because I'm not, you know, like, there's no actor that I will religiously follow, and there's no TV show that I religiously have to watch. But yeah, when it comes to Howard Stern, I gotta listen. Bought Sirius solely for Howard Stern. It's great. I get to work at 7 in the morning when his new show starts on the satellite, or, you know, on satellite, it's the West Coast feed. And then I got the little pause and rewind feature on my little Sirius unit. So whenever I get a phone call at work or a meeting, I pause it. You know, let it build up memory. Then when I'm done with the phone call or whatever, I sit back down, put on my headphones, and I can keep listening to it. Don't miss anything.
So you specifically bought Sirius for Howard Stern?
Absolutely. I had XM before, but you know what's been a pleasant surprise is that Sirius actually has more rock stations, and I like the music that they play better. I don't know, with their playlist, it just seems to be bigger. I mean, the sound quality isn't all that great.
Well, isn't that why, that's my thing with Sirius, is that what you're telling me is that the sound quality is not that great as XM.
Some channels are tinny, and I can't figure out why that is. And then other channels sound great.
Right.
And then it depends on the time of day, too, because then you could be listening to the alternative station, which in the morning it sounds good, then the evening for some reason there will be certain times that it's tinny, so I can't figure out why that is.
So is Howard Stern that much better on Sirius?
Oh, I've been so impressed this week, because I figured there'd be a lot of hype, there'd be a lot of swearing, it would just be kind of blah, but I think he's taken it to a whole nother level. I mean, I'm blown away by it. I love it.
So is he saying fuck a lot? I mean, what is he saying?
It boils down to it's just normal conversation like what we're having here. And so it just becomes so, you know, to the point where, you know, like he'll say, you know, fuck every now and then, but it doesn't, you know, you're not like, oh my God, what did he just say? It's just, the conversation flows. And so then it just becomes a natural part of conversation. And no, it's great. And it's hilarious, and I think a lot of it, too, is, you know, he was he had the censors and the FCC on his back when he was on regular radio. 21 minutes of commercials an hour, you know, that was insane. And just parts that would get dumped, and, you know, so he constantly had it on his mind where, okay, what's going to get dumped, what's not. Now it's just no holds barred, you know, you just don't care. And so I think that just helps it flow. It's great to listen. I can't rave about it enough.
What do you like about Howard Stern?
I cannot tell you what it is. I think it's just it's real, and
do you know what's funny? Do you know what I find funny about
Howard Stern? It's like it's this running. He's a voyeur, where he'll bring in some of the oddest people, but he doesn't judge them. He just gets into their lives and kind of figures out what makes them tick, you know, just by interviewing them. He has a way of telling a story where he can take the simplest thing, spread it out. It's something you just want to sit and listen to. And then, just the whole voyeuristic aspect. And then there's just this inside joke that everybody's kind of in on, you know, where he's got his group of weird people that he's always bringing in. I think he calls them his whack pack. And then, it's just like this, best way to describe it, just an inside joke that you're in on.
You know, it's funny because from what I know of Howard Stern, I mean, I don't listen to him, but it's funny because Howard Stern's show is it's a very man's show. It's a very, you know, it's a guy show. It really is. But what I'm going to say here is funny is that I know so many gay men and women that listen to his show.
And it's
funny because you figure they would be the last people to listen to his show, but I have to admit, you know, it's like I come across a lot of people, specifically gay men and women, who love his show.
I think it's just like Jerry Springer.
Well, his biggest
that's a train wreck that you just can't stop watching.
Feature
yeah.
At all.
I mean, yeah.
I'm just glad I don't have to watch him on TV.
No, but Stern for some reason.
I certainly don't have satellite radio and don't want it. And that would be one of the main reasons.
In the next 20 years, that might be all there is.
No, I know. I just can't stand Howard Stern.
No, and for some reason, Stern gets most of his listeners. They're 25 to 54. Most of them have a college degree. They're listening from their, you know, offices on Wall Street in New York City.
Right.
But, yeah, I don't know. I couldn't tell you what is appealing about him. There's just something that has me listening.
What I found was pretty shocking is for his first show, though, he had George Takei from...
Or Takei,
whatever his name is. Sulu from...
Star Trek
on. And
the first show, they must have talked an hour and a half about everything gay. And I thought it was great. Because he's actually very... Well, he's got a gay cousin, and so he has no problems.
I'm sure everybody has a gay cousin. I know someone who's gay.
Exactly. But what I was fascinated with is just he, you know, because you figure most guys, they don't want to know about anything, you know, between two guys that's going on, let alone see them kiss. But with Stern, it was, well, tell me about your partner. And, you know, when was the first time you had sex? And, well, what do you guys do when you have sex? And he was asking about anal. And George finally is like, well, I don't do anal anymore. Because once you get to a certain age, it just kind of hurts. And it's no longer fun.
Oh. That's disappointing. Well, that's pretty graphic.
That's unique. Is this getting edited?
No edits here. No. Well, you know, it's funny because I know a lot of people that listen to Stern, and they were really depressed when he left the airwaves, and now that they have this new outlet for him to hear him, and he can say, you know, anything he wants to say, you know, kind of thing, which is good. That is, at least until, you know, the FCC decides they want to regulate that. Mm-hmm. But anyways. All right, next topic.
All right.
Chris is picking. Oh, you can't pick that one.
The Apple phenomenon. And Steve Jobs.
And Steve Jobs. Okay. If anyone knows anything about me, they all know that I am a more or less recent Apple
whore.
I'm an Apple whore. Yes, I'm an Apple convert. And it's sort of funny because I have to admit, on January 10th, I sat at work refreshing MSNBC to find out what new products were coming out on January 10th, because Macworld is in San Francisco this past week. And I have to admit, I don't know why. I mean, I have a PowerBook. I have two iPods. I mean, it's stupid. But it's an addiction for me, you know, kind of thing. But I don't know. Why do you think it's such a phenomenon? The marketing is genius.
Marketing
is absolutely genius.
It's a marketing machine. It works.
And I'll tell you the other thing, too, is I love it every time on MSNBC because, of course, that's my favorite news site. Never go to Fox. Hello. But anyways, no. When they say, you know, Microsoft has a virus that has come out, and oh my God, it's tearing down the world stuff, and I'm sitting here going, ha ha ha, I've got a Mac, ha ha ha, you know. Of course, that's just a matter of time before they come out with a virus, but I don't know. It's, what do you think? Because I know you have an iPod, Travis.
Yeah, I've got an iPod, but no Apple computer. I don't know.
It doesn't appeal to you? Are you a Michael Dell kind of person? Or
no, I do have a Dell laptop, but when it comes to, I don't know. Not a big Apple fan, but it's cool. It's all right.
Yeah, you have to admit, though, they got some pretty cool stuff.
They do indeed.
I know.
Sharper Image catalog, what was it? The first 18 pages were devoted to iPod.
Well, that's really amazing, you know, because if you think about it, think of the billions of dollars that are being generated off of accessories alone.
Oh, yeah. Huge.
I mean, we're not talking millions. We're talking billions. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, in fact, when I was looking for the microphone so we could do this podcast, you know, I'm looking and looking and looking, and I'm in Best Buy, and I couldn't find the microphone. But I saw a whole row of iPod stuff. And then the same thing, you go to Circuit City, it was like a whole thing of iPod stuff. It's like you can, I mean, they have Apple stores, but they could dedicate the whole store to iPods alone. It's pretty.
No, and I was surprised. Like, I was hunting for a second Sirius unit. And every store I went to, right next to Satellite Radio, is the iPod accessories. And I was just baffled because I've never seen, you know, there's just so much store shelf space that's devoted to just anything iPod. You know, you got the little cases and, yeah, the little FM transmitter on the top where it brings in radio stations.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And a year ago when I got my iPod and I was looking for a simple, you know, wristband to put it into, I couldn't find it anywhere. I had to order it online. And now, you know, it's baffling, all the accessories for it. So, yeah, and it's every store. Circuit City, Best Buy, Target.
Target. I know. I was in Target, and I'm sitting here going, you know, looking for, you know, fabric softener. And, of course, right next to it is the iPod aisle. So I'm, like, going, okay, great, you know. But it's just shocking. It's funny because, you know, once you go Mac, you never go back.
For real?
You know what I'm saying? Okay. Mm. But you know, it's just interesting. I find that people who do buy an iPod a lot of times end up buying a Macintosh computer, and it's interesting. And I have to admit, I am addicted. So, anyways, next topic. Travis.
Wait, did we do four?
Well, we got one more. We've got time, so let's do one more. Let's do this one. Because I know you want to talk about that one.
Husband hunting. Well, I was going to say, let's talk about your new husband.
Oh, yes.
I'm seeing this card here, and I want to read this.
No. For those of you who have been reading my blog, I have met a really incredible guy. And,
wait, are you gay?
Yeah.
God help me. Yes, exactly. No, but I haven't.
I didn't
know
that about you.
I'm not going to get too deep right now, but no, I met someone. Met him about a month ago, and going back and forth to Cleveland. Yes, and the scary part is he grew up like about not even a mile from where I grew up, which is really shocking to me. I think that's the most weird part, but he's a great guy. I've been blogging about him. His name's Tim, and he's coming out at the end of the month to visit and check things out, and I'm hoping to have him imported here very soon, but...
We're all hoping to meet him.
You will all meet him. Everyone here in Phoenix will meet him as long as you're around the last weekend in January. But he is an absolutely awesome guy. Great connection. And haven't felt this way in a very, very, very long time. So more to come on that one.
That's good. You deserve it.
But yeah, oh, you better believe I deserve it. Oh, yes.
But so along the lines of husband hunting then, and you've said that you've been warned by people, do you think you're, you know, taking this too fast? So what's your opinion? Do you think you just know when you meet that someone? Or do you think you need to get into it or approach the whole things very slowly and cautiously?
Well, I always have the Secret Service check out all my data. But I told Ed, that I think you need, if he feels that way in his heart and the other person also feels that way and you really do believe that, then go with your gut.
Mm-hmm.
And life's way too short not to enjoy whatever time we have with whoever we're with.
Right.
So,
well, and it's funny because anyone who knows me knows that I'm a very rational person, and I overanalyze things like no tomorrow, and you know, it just, you know, this is one of the things that feels right, you know, and it feels good and it feels real. So, you know, I'm a really go with your gut kind of person, and I know a lot of people would think differently, but you know what? It's when you feel this way, and it's not infatuation. And I was blogging about that about two blog entries ago. I've been infatuated with guys before. I mean, we all have, right? I mean, we've all been infatuated with people.
One or ten or 100.
20, 30, yeah.
You know, but it's you know, when it goes past the infatuation and when it gets to a point where...
You're a stalker.
No. When it gets to a point when you're like, you know what? It feels right and it feels good and it's, you know, that you know. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You know. So, more to come on this.
That's
one.
Great.
Hopefully this will turn into a wonderful love affair kind of thing.
Very
but
nice.
But it's going pretty good. Now, Travis, what about your husband hunting?
I kind of gave up on it. Everybody tells me, don't look. I'm like, fine, I'm not going to look. Because actually, I'm kind of at a loss here in Phoenix. I'm just not big on the bar scene. And
no,
I don't like meeting people in bars. The internet thing, it's hit or miss. You met Tim on gay.com, which,
right.
I mean, that's got to be like hitting the lottery. Because otherwise...
Actually, it is. It's one of the lotteries.
There's so many fakes on there. And I've been a bit jaded because with my husband hunting, I just focused on the internet first.
Right.
Because it seemed like an easy way to meet people. Because I'm pretty shy, you know, when I'm out in public and I don't know people. Then I tend to be reserved.
Right.
Until I can warm up to them, then, you know, it's all good.
Right.
And what the hell was I just talking about? Totally just blanked out.
just about husband hunting.
You're looking at the porn in front of you.
Okay, so the internet, you know, I was focusing on that, so I've become a bit bitter and jaded because I've met quite a few...
People where it
losers.
Didn't work out.
Well, you know what, I've known you for a while.
I've met
a couple losers, there's no doubt about that.
Too many boys with too many ain't gots.
Yeah, exactly.
You call them ain't gots, I call them fatal flaws.
Or the very touched up glamour shot pics. To be judgmental, you know, because I'm, you know, everybody claims I'm superficial, so I don't know. And then
you're picky. I will say that. You are picky.
I do agree. I think I'm pretty picky.
That's good. Right. It's okay. But, you know, you are picky.
All that.
But I think I'm also quite a bit guarded. You know, so then when it comes to the bar scene, I just try to avoid it because, you know, then I'm in the whole mode where, no, there's nobody good here. But yet I'm out at the bars looking. So.
And when you think about it, when we've gone down to the local Amsterdam or wherever, how many of those boys do we all say, oh, we've seen him online?
Yes.
And a lot of the same people are online as are at the clubs.
And I have always said life would be so much easier if you went into one of these bars and everyone wrote their screen name on a name tag and said, hello, my name is Hung Nine for you, you know, and then you look at them like, what, you're Hung Nine for you? I don't think so. But anyways, you know, but it's funny because let's admit it. I mean, most gay men are online, and most gay men are online. I'll just say it, you know. But and it's funny because we'll go to the bar, and you're like, oh, I've seen him online. Oh, I've seen him online. But it's just part of the culture now. But and I'm with you. It's like, you know, you go to the bar and you see the same kind of people, and you see them over and over again, and it's like, where do you meet?
And they end up being the ones that are in the cliques where they claim to be good, you know, big on friends, establishing good friendships, but yet they're also the first ones when, you know, one of their so-called friends, at least in the clique, their back is turned, one of the first ones to stab them in the back. So that I don't understand. But no, so my goal for 2006 with the husband hunting, right. I'm going to find the gay men that aren't in the bars and aren't online. I don't know if it's possible since I still have a gay.com profile.
So do they live in some commune or some island somewhere that we just don't know where it is?
Right now, I'm hunting in the gyms. I'm looking for the boys that have the wandering eyes. Of course, that doesn't necessarily mean that they don't go to the bars and they aren't online.
Well, and
I don't know.
The gym is such a... I've always thought the gym is the hardest place to meet guys.
Absolutely.
Because you know what? Let's admit, like the LA Fitness at the end of my street, which is the one at Camelback, I mean, that's the gay LA Fitness, like no tomorrow. But it's funny because people stand there and look at each other back and forth, and no one will ever say anything. And I have to admit, I'm one of those people too. I just don't like... I'm not an approacher. I like to be approached. Well, who doesn't, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But... that's a hard place to meet, and it's, you know, people are looking at you,
yep.
And they know you're looking at them, and it's like I said, it's just, it gets very frustrating. I don't know, Chris, what do you think?
I'm the perfect wallflower.
You're the perfect wallflower. Why are you the perfect wallflower?
I am. When I go out to a club or something,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'll stick with my clique.
Sorry. But there's a difference between clique and group friends. Of friends.
Yes.
Right. And that's what I should say. I'd stick with my friends. And a very good example of that is the night I picked you up from the airport.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And we stopped at Harley's.
Yep.
And somebody walked in that I was like, oh, my God. Sat down at the corner of the bar, and you were talking to me, and I was looking beyond you, and you were going blah, blah, blah,
yeah,
blah, blah.
Exactly. All you heard was blah, 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 Tim, blah, blah, right. blah, Tim, great guy, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, great, great. And,
uh-huh.
and then you're,
yeah,
yes,
and
exactly.
what about it? Yeah. So ended up, you basically pushed the card to buy the guy a drink.
Right.
Because I would have never done it. I just, that's not me. And I'm so glad I did. Because he's a very nice guy. And
this is a story I haven't heard now. So,
we've actually seen each other a little bit here and there.
Absolutely.
And, it's been very interesting.
In the bar, you sent a drink over to this guy.
Well, here's what happened. I was getting back from my Christmas week and a half long week, you know, with the travel vouchers and all everything. Getting back, Chris picked me up at the airport, and we went to Harley's because I was like, let's get a drink because I have a lot to tell Chris, you know, about Tim. So we ended up at Harley's, which I've never been there, by the way, which actually, believe it or not, is a really nice bar.
Yeah.
I was really impressed. You know, it's like, you know, with a name like Harley's, you figure, you know,
it'd be unique.
But anyways, so we sit down and this really attractive guy sits like on the other side of me, and Chris was like, you know, I'm a glass wall right through me and looks right at him, and they start, he bought him a drink and started talking. So... He's a good-looking guy.
So I want to know.
He is a good-looking guy.
I need some techniques for the bar. Well, here I am, you know, not looking for husbands in the bars, but I need techniques in the bars. Okay, so you're sitting at the bar. Chris is on the left. This guy's on the right.
Right.
And so you bought the drink?
No, Chris bought the drink.
And so then you told the bartender to give it to him? What did you buy him? Like rum and coke?
He was drinking beer, and I just said... go ahead and get him a beer.
And then did you tell the bartender to tell him who it was from?
No, there were only about five people.
There were like five people in this bar.
Yeah.
It was a Thursday night. It was just dead, but which was perfect. But but it was sort of funny because you know how they say it happens when you're least expecting it? Because one of the things, like for me, it was when I least expected, you know, kind of thing. But I know for you... Mm-hmm. You were just coming off of a wonderful week and a half with a very nice Spaniard.
Yes, from Barcelona. That was all that.
So Chris wasn't even looking because he was still like, oh, la la la.
Was the guy visiting?
Uh-huh. Yeah, visiting his
very
parents.
Nice.
So see, it happens.
Spent
it does
every
actually
night
happen.
At my house, but one, his mother started calling at 6 every morning. Where are you?
Okay, so back.
If only she knew.
Harley. So the bartender gives the guy the drink,
and he looked up and. smiled, and then...
So what did you, you nodded, or...
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's like, for me. Yeah. It's right here. So, what did he do? Did he get up and approach, or did you approach
him? I said,
hey,
I'm Big Daddy Kane, move it up.
No. Or did you get up and move?
No, Chris pushed me, and I hit the floor. He took his heels and walked right all over me. So.
I pretty much did. No.
Was it kind of awkward, though? So he came up and was just like, oh, thanks for the beer?
I was very nervous.
Well, if someone bought you a beer, wouldn't you have to say thank you, too? I mean,
well, I think I would be all, I don't know.
You got to get over the shyness thing, Travis.
Yeah, it's got to get over the shyness. I'd be all, hand up to the face. Oh, is that for me?
Yeah, you would no say eye contact.
Yes, yeah. I would. But then, so he came up and said thank you?
He sort of said thank you across the room, and then I think I got up and walked over. Tim, the bartender, was talking to all of us, sort of, I think. And then he got up, and we both were standing by each other. I remember that. And
Interesting.
And then do you remember what was said next? Like, what kind of got the conversation going?
Oh, just where are you from or whatever. And I think I said that I'd picked Ed up from the airport, and I'd never been in there before, and... He said he had been in there one other time, I think. Right. And
then you went home with him. No, I'm joking.
No, I didn't.
Wait, so when did the phone number exchange come in?
Actually, that night.
That night it did,
Cool. We swapped phone numbers, and I told Ed, I was like, oh, my God. So I dropped Ed off at home. And when I left, I actually went back by Harley's to see if he was there, and his car was gone. So, of course, I was deflated.
And he's calling me the stalker.
Probably left right after you. Well, no, I think I would do the same.
And I felt, I was like, oh, well. And then drove home, and an hour later, which would have been midnight, my phone rang at home. And it was him. And he's like, I hope it's okay. I'm calling you this late. I just wanted to say it was really nice to meet you. And I'm on my way home, and I live right now clear out in, Queen Creek. And everything, I talked to him for, 40 minutes till he got home. And then we exchanged phone, conversations back and forth. And he came over for dinner, and we've gone out doing a couple.
Wait, he lives in Queen Creek?
Not now.
Just
moved into
Mesa. Oh, okay.
So it's actually a very well-forming little... thing.
Very nice.
It's a thing. Yeah. I'm not going to say anything else. It's a thing.
Not a hit and run.
It's not a hit and run or a drive-by, but yet it's a thing, Well, anyways, more to come on that. Well, we're running out of time now, so I'd like to thank Travis and Chris for doing the first podcast, hopefully of many more, and hopefully we didn't bore anybody with these stories.
Do we get to do another?
Well, I don't know. Maybe. No, anyways, yes, I'm sure we'll have another one, but hopefully everyone enjoyed this podcast and just a little insight into all of our lives, because that's really what it's all about. You know, that's why we do blogs, that's why we do podcasts and stuff like that, real good communication, but thanks everyone for listening. I appreciate it. See you then.